Okay, hello everybody. This is Abby Bejo and welcome back to the Lake Health and Wellbeing podcast. So today I'm so happy to be joined by Olivia Hartman. Hello, Olivia.
Hi, Abby. Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's a pleasure to have you. So Olivia is an integrated humanistic counselor. She is also a member of the British Association for Counseling and Psychotherapy and also a member of the Black and Asian Therapist Network. So a couple of years ago, Olivia gave a fantastic presentation at our fibroids conference, and she spoke a bit about the emotional impact of fibroids. And I was so moved by the presentation, and it gave me so much food for thought that I just thought this was an area that needs a lot more focus. So I thought today would be a really wonderful thing if we could speak to Olivia a little bit and delve into some of the mental effects of fibroids. So before we get started and before we get any further, Olivia, can you tell us a little bit about yourself so everybody knows who you are and what you do and how you got into counseling?
Okay. Well, I always used to work in the office, and then I've been through a period of time where I was really... as I call it, going to a dark period of time that I didn't understand. And that's in that period of time, I discovered personal development and that I could change and that I had a voice and that I was important and all of that. And that's how I sort of felt into counseling, even though I didn't at the time went into counseling, but I could see that that would have helped me to go through that period of time. Mm. So I decided to quit my job and I sort of re-educated myself.
Yeah.
And I went into counseling, and then when I was qualified, I set up OH Services.
Wonderful. Which,
provides counseling, workshops, seminars, and also group therapy and all of that.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. I think that is a really good way to get into a career, having a personal experience of something and thinking, actually, you know, I can do something about that by actually educating myself, getting into that career and making a difference because you have that personal experience. So that's really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good. So I guess let's get started then. So fibroids and mental health. So I think when it comes to fibroids, because we've been working on fibroids for quite a number of years now, and very rarely do you hear people actually mention the emotional impact of fibroids. And it doesn't seem to be widely discussed or even addressed. Why do you think that is?
I was very surprised that I could find very little about the emotional impact on fibroids. And when you just look at emotion on its own, people don't specifically speak about emotions when it comes to physical health. This usually about, oh, I broke a leg and, you know, you go to treatment and there is a period of time where you obviously need to heal. But we don't really speak about how it impacts us emotionally. So, and especially as women, I think as well, we deal with emotions differently where sometimes it could be a taboo or a stigma, like women are too emotional, so therefore we don't really take notice of it as well. We don't really stand still.
Yes.
Yeah. As well. So there's different reasons why I think that we don't really look at these kind of things in general, but women especially, I think emotions is something that, you know, you just step over and you just get on with life, especially with your mother and all of that.
That's true. That's true. I think probably people just think this is just normal and I'm just going to carry on and not really think about it.
Yeah.
And I think when we've discussed this in the past, especially when you gave the presentation at our conference, you've mentioned that you've, you know, explored with women who have had fibroids, how fibroids might affect their mental health. And even they, women who have fibroids themselves, haven't been able to think of any way in which fibroids might affect their mental health. Mm-hmm. And so I guess this is another example of like you even have that disease, but you don't recognize actually that there could be an effect on your mental health. So So I guess it is that. Yeah. Is it that just the case that people just feel that this is normal?
I think that is one of the reasons why people feel like that it's normal, so you just get on with life. And when I was doing the research when I was doing the workshop, when I found out that there was quite little information about it, I decided to sort of ask people around me about their fibroids. And first I found out that so many, many more women that I knew had fibroids, which I never knew. And when I was asking them as well, one-to-one, so how did it affect you emotionally? A lot of them said, well, I actually don't know. And I was quite surprised of that. And when I did the workshop last year with Noir Wellness in November, I did an exercise where it was like a case study about a woman, and I was asking the women to sort of describe what they feel in the case study that I provided, what the emotional impact was. And the interesting thing is, like, not maybe only one of them sort of picked up on the actual link of fibroids and emotions, but all everyone else was like, oh yes, she's very busy, busy life, busy job. And those are sort of the normal things, but the link between fibroids and emotions was very clear that people don't really stand still to think about it. And as you say, it might be just, they just think it's normal or it's to do with something else.
And like, I guess, what are the downsides then of people not recognizing these emotions? What's the negative side of not being able to recognize these emotions?
But they won't be able to do anything about it. If you normalize it and don't realize that it affects you, it affects your life or your daily routine, then you will keep on going. And then at the end of it, it can be very crucial. I mean, very crucial in the sense of that you can have severe mental health illness at some point. If you just push yourself very, very, very through the whole through the whole process.
Yes.
Or you can just have a big effect on your daily life or your family, your work, in, you know, in all strings of life. It can affect you. But the whole thing is that you don't really realize that you're doing it.
And that
can be a big strain on your mental health. On the long term, definitely.
Okay. Wow. So it's important that we do recognize these things and these issues.
Yeah.
So that's a nice segue into the next question, which is let's break it down. And I really like how you categorize how the emotional impact of fibroids. And so during your presentations, you sort of break it down into your emotions might be before your diagnosis and what your emotions might be after. So can you go through that with us? So what might be why the emotions a woman might be experiencing before and after diagnosis?
Yeah, I found it was very important to break it down because when I was asking the questions to women, they didn't know. And to break it down, you can recognize it maybe even better in different stages. So before the diagnosis, this list is quite, you know, it can be quite long, but a few of them are the fear of the unknown. So you don't know what it will all mean. And that can bring anxiety and worries about the future as well. Mm. It can bring anxiety in general of negative thoughts that you might have.
Yes.
And the loss of control. Especially when you're working, you're a mom and you're busy. A lot of times we all like the control and know what's going to happen. So the feeling of the lust of not knowing, which links to the first one, can be quite something that can bring your life upside down.
Yes.
Because you feel helpless, you feel hopeless, because you don't have enough information as well of maybe what it is that you have.
Yes, because you might have these symptoms and
And then the other thing is also the examination, the vaginal examinations that can be quite traumatic for some people, especially if they would have a background with, you know, any sexual abuse, for example, or anything like that.
Yes.
It can bring up a lot of post-traumatic stress symptoms with some people as well.
And that's things that you don't really think about. That's quite serious.
Oh, no, definitely not. Definitely not. And then after the diagnosis, it can be that this can be a fear of the growing of the fibroids. It could be now you know what it is, you have to go to appointments, and so you have to speak to your employer to get days off, maybe.
Yeah,
you know, you're concerned about your missed days,
also
to catch up on work, all of that. And then you have the worries about getting maybe pregnant because now you know what it is as well. And you might be scared that it grows back. So a lot of negative thoughts will be Even though you have all the information, you can still have a lot of concerns and negative thoughts and worries about the future.
Yes.
And then you also have the part of treatment decisions, because there are different ways that you can deal with fibroids and how you want to get treatment. So not knowing what to do, having too much information can be sometimes very stressing, because now you have to make a decision.
Yeah, very overwhelming.
Very overwhelming. And then it could be a grief after, if you decide, if you really decide to go for the operation and to remove it, then it can be a grief of, you know, it's part of you. It's still a part of you that goes.
Yes. Wow. So it sounds like so many different emotions, so many different ways that fibroids can impact a woman's mental health. And it's a shame then that maybe people don't recognize, or they can't even articulate how they're feeling. Mm-hmm. So that it must be a huge burden on women, a huge burden.
Yeah. And we also have women that have PMS, for example, so that can add to their emotions as well, or some women going to midlife crisis, as some people call it. So there is a lot of stuff that goes on for women as it is, and to identify why it's linked to fibroids can only help a little bit more on how to deal with it.
Yes,
it can be quite overlapping.
Because
then you have the body image, the overweight. For some people, some people might look pregnant, but obviously they're not, and they're not able to have children. So, you know, people might ask questions that makes you feel, you know, you lose your self-esteem and your confidence. There is a lot that goes on that people really sometimes don't realize, that they get more snappy as well. They don't have any. They don't have any sense of. It's not even a sense. That they don't have. They don't really have a lot of, I forgot the word now. They don't have a lot of patience. So they snap quicker.
And it's actually, and it's interesting because, like you said, first of all, people don't know that it's actually the fibroids that's making them feel this way, or the fact that they have the fibroids. And I just think it's so important that maybe we can raise awareness of all these issues so that women can address them and be happier and healthier, even though they're going through something like fibroids. No, it's so important. And like, even I, like I said, we've been working on this for quite some time. And to be honest, it only dawned on us to think about the emotional impact when we were organizing that conference. Really, that was the point where we thought, you know, we need to think about this. And then once you started speaking, it was like, this is, and we understood the depth of it. We realized actually a lot more needs to be done.
Because you can see how important that part is, because you need, if you understand it and you can build resilience, then it's easier to deal with it as well. So the more aware you are of it or about it, then the more you can actually help yourself and get better quicker as well.
And then I think you've touched on it already, body image, it affects a woman's social life, but it can also obviously affect relationships, which is very important, because if you've got a partner, maybe not even just your partner, but like if you have children, it can affect those relationships. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, when it comes to relationship, when you look in a family household, if the people in the family household, maybe a partner of children, don't know what you're going through, or why you're moody today, or why you snappy today, or why you can't get up, then it can bring a lot of friction. Mm. And with partners as well, is the sexual interaction as well. Mm. If that's not discussed or understood, it can bring a lot of tension within the household with your partner. And obviously that can feed into, you know, how you will raise your children and the whole atmosphere in the house, because with a sexual intimacy, you know, it can affect your insecurity and your self-esteem. So definitely, if in the family household, that kind of relationship can affect a relationship big time. If there is no understanding of how it actually impacts you and why you may be sad or fearful or angry as well at some point. As well. And then the relationships outside of work might be that you want to isolate yourself. You don't want to go outside and meet people and friends and extended family anymore, because you don't feel secure anymore. That insecurity and that low self-esteem that can sort of grow upon you, that you don't want to be around people because you're in pain. And when you're in pain, then, you know, you can't have that normal conversation sometimes. And if people don't understand, you know, you can get angry or you can get annoyed. So therefore, you will stay at home more. You start to isolate yourself. And then the other relationship is obviously work, which I mentioned before as well. Yes, so again, how do you relate this to your employer if you need to go for appointments or where you have the operations and maybe afterwards you need that long, you know, long period of time out as well? So it brings a lot of worries and anxiety for people on how it affects them on the long term as well, in their relationships on different levels.
Oh, yeah. Even just hearing it is like making me feel a bit sad, because I'm thinking there's so many women out there that are just feeling all of this and not getting the support. So even just having the conversation is a little bit worrying. Yeah. It's a little bit worrying. And I guess finish up on this section. Are there any other ways that fibroids might affect a woman's mental health? I think we've talked about before the diagnosis, after the diagnosis, about work, relationships, social life. Is there any other way that fibroids can affect mental health?
Not of what we already mentioned, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, we mentioned the overweight overweight and not feeling attractive part.
Yeah.
And in general, that should be it.
Yeah, so now that we know just how fibroids affects a woman's mental well-being, I guess what we need to now talk about are solutions. So what can women do to address this and improve their mental health whilst having fibroids or being affected by fibroids?
Well, there's quite a few things that you could do to start. First of all, is trying to monitor your mood. That can help. Mm-hmm. So if you monitor your behavior or your mood, you can figure out then what affects you, what the triggers are, basically.
Yes, yeah.
And it's important, I think, for some people to seek help, either if it's professional or with someone in the family, someone that you trust. It doesn't have to be everyone that needs to know, but someone that you can talk to, in that you feel safe with and that you trust is quite important. Or you can join a group. Because nowadays they have focus group. I saw that you posted that there is a group next week. Tomorrow.
Fibroid Forum. So support group tomorrow.
I saw that. So that kind of things are quite good. But the self-reflection, it starts with yourself. Mm. The self-reflection is quite good just to realize how it impacts you. Because I named a lot of things, but not everyone goes through the same thing. So if you sort of look at how you react to it, then you can, you know, you can create your own program for yourself, because we didn't even mention food and all of that, because food is very important as well, as far as that research showed, and looking for grounding techniques, how to deal with the emotions while you're at work, for example, and how you can look at your daily routine in a way that it's more positive for you to sort of go through the emotions that you're going through. And it's really educating yourself about your condition, and trying to get a holistic lifestyle. Talk and therapy can help for some people as well. And looking at positive thinking techniques if you're a worrier or if you have a lot of negative thoughts. I didn't even mention everything, but it's quite a few things that you can do. But everyone can create their own plan for themselves, for who it suits.
Yeah, that's great. So I guess the main thing is, first, I guess, is that recognition that you are experiencing a particular emotion and understanding that actually this emotion could come from the fibroids.
Yeah.
And then I guess once you've identified, like you said, your triggers, just write it down, see if you need any additional support or from family, friends, from a professional. Okay. Yeah. So I think, to be honest, just even people recognizing that this is possible, that your mental health can be affected by your fibroids, is a good first step. And then reaching out for help, I guess.
Yeah.
So I know that you're working on resources to support women with fibroids. So can you tell us a bit about what you're developing and what you're doing?
Yeah. So after, well, you inspired me to do all of this, to be honest, and introduce me to all of that for fibroids and looking more into the emotional impact of it. So I came up with the idea to do an online course, a live online course that is interactive and for a few weeks, because it's good to have a 1 hour workshop, give the women the information. But I think if you have something that is ongoing for a few weeks, then they get used to sort of, you know, maybe creating this plan for themselves and actually looking at it more on a constant basis than just coming to one workshop, get the information, and maybe in 2 weeks' time you might forget, or, you know, you don't have the motivation anymore, or whatever comes in between. So if you make a commitment to maybe do that course for like 5 or 6 weeks, then you're getting more into the routine, and hopefully you will get, I think it's going to be more beneficial.
Yeah.
So I'm launching it this year, and it's going to be a few weeks, and I'm going to break it down in different sections, and for people to sort of, you know, also meet other people, to be honest, at the same time. So so that's what I'm going to launch this year.
Wonderful. Well, that's really, really good news. And I think it's going to be much, much needed. So if women are interested in the course, how can they contact you to register and interest?
Well, they can email me.
Great.
And the email, should I send the email or will you?
You can say the email. Yeah, you can say the email, and then I will put your email address at the bottom of the podcast as well.
Okay. So it's ohsurfaces@counselor.com.
Okay, wonderful.
And so what you can do is just email me and just say, oh, you're just interested in getting more information for when the course is live. And maybe you, if possible, you can write down what you would like to get out of it, because it would be good to sort of get sort of feedback of what people really want or what they expect. So at least, you know, I can sort of incorporate that as much as I can into the, in the development of the course. And I'm also making a landing page, so that will be coming out soon as well for people to sort of register also by that email.
Okay, great. Well. Great stuff. So I think this is going to be much, much needed. So we will, from Lake Health and Wellbeing point of view, we'll make sure that we'll promote it and people have the information they need to either register or find out more information from you. So I think that is it in a nutshell. So any last parting words for women, or any tips for women around fibroids and mental health?
I would say do not compare yourself with everyone else, because everyone goes through their own process of developing their well-being, or improving their well-being, I have to say. And to know that you're not alone, and that there is support, and please express your needs, because sometimes we're not really good in expressing what we actually need.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Olivia, for joining us today. That was so, so useful. Gave us a lot of food for thought. So thank you so much for joining us. Everybody out there, I'll make sure that I have all of Olivia's details at the bottom of the podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time.
Take care. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.